What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 148. If you guys listened to Full Draw Friday, you knew this one was coming up. We went to the ATA show last Thursday, walked through in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. It was not a huge show. I'm going to get into that. Obviously, you guys read the title of the episode. I'm going to talk about some conversations we had with some people about the show, kind of what it used to be to what it is now, and kind of why I still want to go and do that show when we can, and a lot of different stuff about the show. We'll get into all of that. There was some good stuff come from it as well, and we got some exciting stuff coming up here within the next month. Hopefully everything will be done within the next month, and I can tell you guys about it because I'm super excited about what we got coming. It's going to be good for all parties involved. So, with all that said, let's get into episode number 148. Going to do a little ATA recap and talk about what's going on with the show. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, so is the ATA show dead? The short answer is no. Maybe with a question mark. I think if we rephrase that, is it dying? Is it on the way down? That's probably indisputable. But is it completely dead in the water? I don't think so. I think it's salvageable. I definitely think there's still a lot of good that comes from it and a lot of benefit to go into it. And I'd like to see it continue, and I'd like to see it get back to where it was in the past. I don't know if it ever will, but obviously I'm going to dive into that a little bit more. The first thing I wanted to do is kind of give a little recap, though, of what we did see and what was at the show. If you guys don't know, it's the Archery Trade Association show, so you have to be a member to be able to go in, and then obviously a lot of manufacturers, dealers, and retailers are there exhibiting. And a lot of retailers and sales and shop owners and things like that will go to the show. They'll see what's new for the year. They might make orders. It's not as much as what it used to be. And again, I'll talk about that a little bit later. There's probably not as much business going on as there was even 10 years ago, definitely 20 years ago. But that's kind of the gist of the show. It's not like your regular consumer show. Like I said, you have to be an ATA member to be in there. And there's a lot of the big names in the industry. A lot of them weren't there as well. Matthews, Hoyt, I think PSE had a little booth there. Elite was not there. A lot of the other big name companies as well that you guys would recognize weren't there. But there were a lot of companies still there as well, represented. A lot of the big personalities that you guys would know through the industry show up at some point through the week as well. I know they still did their dinner on Wednesday night. But they did not have the film festival that they normally have. If you guys aren't familiar with that, they usually have basically just that. It's a little outdoor film festival one night of the show every year presented by Badlands. They weren't there. They didn't do show this year. They did the film festival this year. But like I said, we got to talk to a lot of our friends throughout the industry. Some of our partners were there. We got to talk to the guys at Flambeau, so that's always good. It's nice to get to see them talk face-to-face and just kind of see what's up with them, what they got coming. You know, we'll share some insights on what we've done with the products, kind of things that we might like to see and things that work really good. Same way with, you know, our friends at Radix, not an official partner, but obviously we worked with them on some stuff. Rodney Hawkins was up there working in their booth as well, so we got to talk to all those guys. Not like we don't see Rodney regularly, but we don't get to see the guys at Radix all that often. So it was good to see those guys, talk with them for a while, again, about new stuff. They've got a new line of stands out now. They're lighter, definitely more mobile-friendly setup that they've got, that they've moved to. Their blinds, they've done some different stuff with their blinds, so it was cool to see that. We also got to talk to some potential partners as well, people that we've had conversations with in the past, and just catching up with them. Even if it's not about business stuff, it's good to just see everybody and catch up. Not only that, but people we've had on the podcast, you know, we get to talk to them at the show. Several people that have been guests on that we really just don't get to see except for these kind of shows. So it was cool to get to do that. And that's the thing to me, that's the biggest draw for us to go to the ATA, because there's a lot of those people that we wouldn't get to see regularly. And it's nice, even though it's once a year, to be able to go up there and see everybody, say hey, you know, talk a little bit about what's been going on. Even if, again, if it's not business stuff, just catching up. The people really make the show, I think, at this point. And as long as they're still going, I don't think the show will ever cease to exist, for sure. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market. We've been using ours for several months now, and I'm continually impressed with the ease of use and security they provide. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. There probably will be some changes in the future of either who's running it or how it's run. We did hear some rumors about different things, which I won't dive into because, again, I have no idea if there's any truth to them or not. They're just rumors. But I think as long as the people keep going, the show will continue, because it is such a good place for everybody to kind of get together. Starting out the year, you're just wrapping up the hunting season. You get to catch up on that. You get to look forward to what's coming up. And just talk and hang out. And it's a cool atmosphere. And again, it's a lot of people who are obviously in the hunting industry, so like-minded. We could talk about, we have a lot of the same interests, clearly, that we can talk about on the show or during the show. And it's just good for that. And I think it always will be good for that, as long as it's there. And again, as long as people keep showing up. On the manufacturer side, it's nice to talk to new companies that we haven't met with before. We got to talk to Nate at G5. He's one of the owners. He spent, I don't know, 20 minutes talking to us about their new Prime Bow that they've got out and their new broadhead line, the T2 broadheads, even their existing broadhead lines. Just sit there and talk to us about all that stuff. It's nice to have people like that still in the industry, because there are some that they won't give you the time of day, or they just got better things to do, it seems like. They don't want to spend much time talking to you. So that was cool to meet different people like that. And he wasn't the only one. There were others as well at different companies that we got to talk to, you know, for an extended period of time. And that's, I guess that's a one good thing about the show not being as busy as it used to be. You can have those conversations without feeling rushed. Obviously, you'd like to see more people there, especially as the show or as the exhibitors. But if you're an attendee, it's kind of nice to be able to stop and talk. It's kind of like the difference in, we'll say, the Deer and Beer Fest, or even the Illinois Deer Classic and the Iowa Deer Classic. At Iowa, it's really cool because there's a lot of people there, there's a lot of stuff there, but you don't get to have the same interaction as you do at those other two shows, because while there's still a lot of people at them, it's not quite as crowded. The aisles aren't as crowded, and you can stop and have conversations with people and actually get into stuff. So it was nice to be able to do that at the ATA compared to what it used to be. From everything that, you know, I've talked to Dad, he used to go back in the 90s, talked to Nate, he was there in the early 2010s, and even then, just 10 to 15 years ago, the show was huge. They packed the Indiana Convention Center and Lucas Oil Stadium, just tons of people there, all the big companies were there. It wasn't like there were some of them that felt like they didn't have to go. And I think a lot of that is the change in culture in general. People don't necessarily value being able to talk face-to-face when they can do all their business over the phone, on the internet, things like that. There's not a lot of reason to spend the money to go to these shows. For these companies, what's the incentive? If they can do all of their business online now, which most of them can, and they don't need to have those face-to-face conversations with dealers or potential buyers or anything like that, it's going to cost them a lot of money, not only for the booth space, even besides that, just to get their product move and to pay people to work the booth for the weekend and all of that stuff. So the juice probably isn't worth the squeeze on it for them, because there's not as much value on the face-to-face interaction and actually talking to people. I don't lose any respect for the companies that are doing that, because I completely understand where they're coming from. And as a from a business perspective, it probably makes more sense to not go, especially if you don't need it. Most of these companies are well known enough, they don't have to go to the ATA show to pick up new dealers, because the dealers have enough people that are wanting their product that they're going to pick them up anyway. It's not like they have to see them there. However, on the flip side of that, I do gain a little respect for some of the businesses that still do show up, and the companies and the manufacturers that still do show up and will stand there and have a conversation with you, shake your hand and say thanks for stopping by. I think that's worth a lot. Again, culturally, maybe it's not as much as it used to be. Definitely since like the 90s, late 80s and the 90s, where Dad's talking about going to those shows. Definitely a culture shift since then. I wouldn't think as much since when Nate was going, but the show was still huge at that time. So I don't know necessarily what's completely changed since then, but there's just not the draw for the big manufacturers and companies. If social media probably has a lot to do with it, because there's so much exposure there. Like, how much social media marketing can they do with the budget they would spend on the ATA show? It's a lot. I mean, there's a lot more value in that for most of these companies. So that makes some sense. And then if the companies aren't there, the retailers, the buyers, the dealers, they're not going to be there. They're not going to drive to Indy or fly into Indy to go try to talk to somebody who's not there, or companies that maybe they already have relationships with, but they're looking for new stuff. If the new stuff's not there, why would they go? That's another thing. It used to be at the ATN. I remember this as a kid, seeing stuff about it. All the new releases, especially the bow releases, would happen at the ATA show, and that was a big deal for especially dealers to go see what was new, be there for the unveiling of the new bows. That way they could go back and tell their customers what's coming. They could order them right there at the show. And it was kind of there was a big show just around that. And now everybody does their releases pretty early, online. Almost everything's through social media, so everybody knows what's out there before the ATA ever rolls around. So there's not that draw either. If you're like most hunters out there, at some point you've dreamed of having a piece of hunting ground to call your own. Maybe you finally decided to make those dreams a reality. If so, you need to talk to our guy, Rodney Hawkins. Rodney is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you haven't heard of them, they aren't your average real estate company. While they do deal in traditional residential and commercial real estate, their specialty is recreational and farm ground. With agents like Rodney serving across the state of Illinois, no matter what you're looking for, they can find it. Even if you want to sell what you already have to upgrade, downgrade, reinvest, whatever, they've got you covered. For more information, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. On top of what he does for MFL, Rodney also has his own company called RG Outdoors. They currently carry hard and soft-sided blinds, blind chairs, tree stands, and cameras from Radix Hunting, Tacticam trail cameras, Fission e-bikes, and he's adding new stuff all the time. I've personally used all of these products, and I'm beyond happy with every one of them. The Fission e-bike is a game changer, and you will not find a better one for the price. If you're interested in anything RG Outdoors has to offer, you can send them a message to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. And I think that's a big one. And it's not just bows, it's a lot of other new products as well. It used to be a place where you'd bring your new products, and it was the place where people could see them for the first time. Pick them up, use them, whatever it was, touch it, feel it, see it, all that stuff, ask questions about it, talk to the people who made it or were involved in making it. And now there's just not as much call for that, I guess, with people. They see it online, they're pretty trusting of it is what it looks like in it. I mean, most of the time it is. And they can do all that stuff from home, and they don't have to travel to one of these shows to do it. So I do think that's a big thing with why it's probably going downhill as well. There's just not as much new stuff happening. They have a big booth there every year for like the new products or whatever, spotlight. And there was almost nothing in the booth. There was a few tables with some stuff on it, but it was really kind of sad to see this big open space with not a lot of stuff in it. Like I said, there was some cool new stuff. Prime's new bow is pretty interesting. It's got carbon rods kind of in pieces of it, and then it's still machined on other parts of the riser. And the way they explained it to us, they've put carbon where carbon works best, and they've put the machine stuff where it works best, like the aluminum. They put it where it works best as well. So it's a very interesting-looking bow, and we didn't get to shoot it. We could have, I'm sure. But I'm curious to shoot that thing eventually and see how it does and see if they have any issues with it or anything. It was definitely an interesting design. It's something you don't really see a lot, so that was cool to see. There was some other, just some other small new stuff, nothing really big and exciting. A lot of it you've already seen, like I said, throughout when you're on social media or just through the internet, probably on TV as well, if your outdoor channel, I'm sure you've seen some of this stuff. So there's not a ton of new stuff, but some of it that was there was pretty cool. We had a lot of these conversations with either people we know or even some that we didn't, just meeting new people, talk to them about the show, ask them how busy they were. Because obviously we're not exhibiting at this show. We went as attendees and walked around and talked to people. And 90% of the booths that we stopped at said it was extremely slow. The show just getting smaller and smaller every year. And they were pretty disappointed. A lot of them contemplating even coming back next year. A lot of them throwing around ideas of why it is the way it is. Kind of like what I've been doing here. And some of those are shared thoughts for sure. There just doesn't seem to be the need to go to the show for all those reasons I talked about. And a lot of people seem to be on the same page with it. So I'm curious to see how long it will last as it is without them changing anything or bringing new people in. I heard, you know, that some of the bigger name companies were offered space for free and they still didn't show up. But like I said, the cost is still for them. They have to pay somebody to be there. They have to move all their product in. So they didn't even see it worth it, minus the booth space, which is not cheap. I mean, it's expensive to exhibit at that show, and maybe that's part of the problem too. Maybe it's they've outpriced themselves on what they've got. There's not enough value there for the price that they're charging. At one time, I'm sure there was. I mean, obviously there was, because all these companies were still going, but with the amount of people that are actually showing up to the show, it's just not worth it to pay the big money that people are paying to have a booth. So that's kind of led to there being less and less manufacturers. Like I said, they used to fill the convention center and Lucas Oil. Last year at St. Louis, they were in one convention center. This year, they were in the convention center there in Indianapolis, and that was it. And we walked the show in an hour and a half, I think. Had we not stopped and talked, we could have easily walked it in a clean hour and a half. Like, it might have been 2 hours by the time we stopped a few times and worked our way through it. But there's just not a ton of stuff there. And it's kind of, I hate to see it, because hearing the stories about what it used to be, I'd really like for it to get back to that. I just don't know that it ever will. But I never got to experience that in the industry. So it would be cool if it ever got back to that. But also just, I think it would be good for these companies and for people in general to be able to get back to where, you know, shaking somebody's hand on a deal meant something. And that's probably a bigger ordeal than just with the ATA show, so I won't get into that too much. But those are just kind of my general thoughts on the show, kind of what I saw there as far as why I think it might be going downhill. I don't think it's dead. Again, I think the people will keep it going as long as they keep going. There's just no other place right now. Obviously, we get to see a lot of people at the Iowa Deer Classic, but not everybody's there, and that's, again, pretty deer-specific. Not completely. There's some people there that aren't just doing deer stuff, obviously. So we get to see them there, and maybe if the ATA was gone, like, that would become an even bigger deal and more people would show up to that. As far as people throughout the industry, you know, the personalities that you guys know, the even just owners of businesses and guys that are behind the scenes on those shows and stuff, right now they go to the ATA. If it wasn't there, maybe more of them would go to, like, the Iowa Deer Classic or a show like that. I'm sure something would take its place as far as that goes. But for now, I think people will want to have the ATA for that. And it might take a different shape. Who knows? It might be that they restructure it a little bit. And I don't think it'll get any less exclusive as far as being for members and, you know, industry people, but maybe restructuring where they're putting value in the show and kind of, you know, changing prices accordingly. I don't really have any solutions for them, and I don't, that's why I don't want to think, I want you guys to think I'm like complaining about the show or anything like that, because I'm not. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed getting to talk to everybody, but I don't want to complain without offering any solutions. And I haven't had time to really sit down and think about it, and I probably won't have, because it's not really my, it's not really my job, to be honest with you. I don't have anything that just comes to me right offhand. It's just these people are going to have to get in a room together, whoever's running the show, and figure this stuff out. Like I said, I got no obvious solutions. It's going to take some legwork, and then rebuilding relationships too, I think, is going to be a big one with those companies that have left and aren't coming back. They're going to have to try to develop some relationships there to get them to come back to the show, and that's going to draw the people back in. In my opinion, if you can figure out a way to get the companies back, that's going to bring the people back, because without the companies there, the people aren't going to be there. And without the people there, the companies aren't going to want to be there either. But I do think the companies come first, because the people aren't going to come before the manufacturers. They're going to have to be there to draw the crowds. So I think that's maybe a good starting point. If I have any solutions to offer, that would be it. Go talk to those manufacturers. Try to build an actual relationship with them, like person to person. Get to talk to the people who run the marketing or whatever department it is that sends these companies to these shows, and try to rebuild relationships with them to get them back there. And I think that would be the first step in bringing the show back to what it used to be. There's got to be maybe some more social media opportunities, some more new media opportunities at the show, if they had places for people to set up and maybe do a little more public podcasts where people could see them. Social media stuff, TikToks, Reels, videos for Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives and stuff like that. I think maybe they could promote that a little bit more, because that's the way things are going. And just kind of show what they do have. And if they think there is still value there, they need to put it out there a little bit more to pique more interest in that. But that's, again, not necessarily even a solution. It's just some thoughts I have on it. So, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. If you've made it to this point, hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you are, go over to our Facebook page and our Instagram. Give us a follow. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group. That's Ridge Hunter Nation. You can go over there and answer a couple questions. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, or you watch any of our shows on YouTube or Carbon TV, you get in that group and just use it as your normal hunting group. Share your success, your failures, pictures, whatever you got. And we'll also give you some extra content in there. I'll ask questions on that, maybe do some surveys occasionally. And we'll also give you guys the opportunity to ask questions for any of our guests that we might have coming on, if we have them lined up in time and that's available. You'll find that at Ridge Hunter Nation. That's on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to see our scent line, Ridge Hunter Scents, our buck tarsal spray, doe tarsal spray, and our calming spray. All of our apparel is available on the website, and our food plot seed, when it is in stock, is available on the website too. If you want any of that stuff, make sure you use our discount code RHOPOD or FULLDRAW, all caps on either of those, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. We also have our entire catalog of podcasts on the website, and our video series are available on there as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it lets you do, and that'll let you guys know when our episodes come out. They're not always as consistent as we want them to be, but we try to shoot for Monday and Friday. Sometimes it gets on a Tuesday or a Saturday maybe for an episode, and that way you'll know when they come out. It also really helps us without costing you anything. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hopefully you're already subscribed to the channel. If you're not, make sure you do that. If you're not listening to this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you go over there and do that at Ridge Hunter Outdoors, just like everything else. That's where you'll find our Fall Pursuit Show, Spring Strutting, all of our off-season vlogs will be on there, and much more. If you guys see a video or listening to a podcast on there and you're enjoying it, just drop us a comment. Hey, good show. Really enjoyed it. Something simple. give the video a like. That really, really helps us out. And again, it doesn't take much of your time at all. You can also find Fall Pursuit on Carbon TV, and Spring Strutting will be on there this spring as well. So make sure you go over to Carbon TV. They have a lot of great shows to offer, and ours will be on there also. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in when you do. Now let's get back to the episode. Short show for you guys this week. I'm going to get out this afternoon and try to get a deer on the ground, another one. The last episode of Fall Pursuit will come out one of the next couple Tuesdays. So not tomorrow, but either a week from tomorrow or a week from that, depending on if I kill a buck or if we run to the end of the season and then how much time I need to get everything edited. I've got a lot of video to go through from my late season hunts to get put on there. Really, the only one left still standing. Obviously, Nate killed his buck. Blake killed two bucks. Dusty killed two bucks. Dad went out yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Saw a few turkeys. No deer. I don't know if he's going to get to go next weekend or not. If he does, maybe he can kill a doe or get lucky and find a buck on its feet. And we'll have that on the last episode as well. But going to try to get it done this week in the snow still while it's still on. And hunt it out hard. If you guys still have tags to fill, get out there after them. And you got nothing to lose at this point. You can push the envelope a little bit. You can get out there and take some more risk. And if you're going out doe hunting, though, just be careful. You're not shooting any shed bucks. There's definitely some been dropping. We've been seeing pictures of one-sided bucks and even some that have dropped both sides already. Some of them drop super early, which see that every year. There's deer that are maybe sick or just not quite healthy or who knows what's going on. They might drop early. And I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a lot of people seeing that this year, just with as dry as it had gotten there at the end of the summer and fall again. Those deer may be not completely healthy and dropping early, but they are dropping. So if you're out there just looking for a doe, which I might be doing towards the end of this week just to fill one more tag, then make sure you're not shooting any shed bucks, any of your bucks for next year. Unless you're okay with doing that, then have at it, I guess. But I'm going to try to just, if I'm going out there to shoot a doe, I'm going to try not to shoot one of my bucks that has made it this far and hopefully will make it to the next season. I'm going to get the new setup out there, the new bow, towards the end of the week. I don't know if I'll take it today or not, but get that out there and see if we can't get it done with it. But that's what we got coming up. I'll have a full draw Friday out this week for you guys. Not sure what we're going to be talking about. And then end of the season campfire episode will be coming up soon. Going to try to get back to some more guests here. We just didn't get anything scheduled for this week. It was kind of, again, running tight on time with the show and everything last week. And this snow that we got kind of shut the world down a little bit last week. And it's been tough to get things lined out. Schedule's been all over the place. So try to get some more guests back on lined up. And then, like I said, end of the season campfire will be coming up soon. I know you guys usually like that. That's usually one of our better episodes of the year. We'll try to get everybody in here, talk about the season. You guys can finally hear from Dusty and Blake and Nate. Well, you heard from Nate, I think, about his buck. But you can hear from those guys about their bucks. And then that'll wrap up our deer season, and we'll start moving towards turkey season. But appreciate everybody that tunes in every week. And even if you're a new listener, appreciate you guys as well. Hopefully you stick with us. And we'll see you guys on Friday.